Record spinning here on 94.9 KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scher. The effects of human-induced climate change are being felt in every corner of the United States. That's the finding of an extensive report released today by a governmental panel on climate change. The National Climate Assessment was produced by a team of more than 300 experts and guided by a federal advisory committee. They worked for the past few years to convene scientists, stakeholders, policymakers to produce one of the most comprehensive and wide-ranging reports on climate change that we've seen. One of the authors of the report, Amy Snover, is with us. She is research scientist and director of the Climate Impacts Group at the University of Washington. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
How is this report different from what we've seen before?
This report is one of the most wide-ranging, thorough, and comprehensive looks at climate change impacts on the nation. So we've had reports in the past. The last national climate assessment was several years ago in 2009. And this one covers more sectors, more cross-cutting issues, and more topics than ever before.
Also written a little more easily for the layman to understand?
Yeah, I think the objective is always to make it easy to understand for the layman, but this one has focused on issues and sort of timeframes and topics that are meant to be of interest and relevance, not only to the layman, but to policymakers and resource managers.
In broad strokes, what does it say about climate change in the Northwest?
What we can expect is continued warming, and a warming at a faster rate than we've seen in the past. And we've identified in the report three main risks for the Northwest. The first one is warming impacts on snow, reduced snow, which leads to reduced water availability for people, fish, and farms. The second one is the dramatic changes in our forested landscapes driven by wildfires, insects, and drought. And the third one are the combined impacts from the land and the sea in the coastal zone, sea level rise, warming temperatures, ocean acidification, and river flooding.
All those things we've been reading about in the Seattle Times these past few days about how those little critters are having a much harder time making their shells and what that's going to mean for the things that eat them in the oceans, for example.
Yep, that's certainly part of the picture.
The report mentioned increased frequency of heavy rainfall events. So what does that mean for the Northwest?
In the Northwest, we see that heavy rainfall events are projected to occur more frequently. And it depends on how you measure a heavy rainfall event, what your actual numbers of projections are. But, you know, maybe around a 20% increase in the number of days with rain over 3 inches by the middle of the century. So those are the numbers, but what really matters is what the impacts are, right? And so we know that heavy rainfall events are important, are hard to deal with when they cause river flooding. And that's one of the areas of concern for the region.
Or landslides. Heavy rainfall was one of the issues cited in the Oso landslide. We don't know all the factors in that, but does that have some impact on the science and how we view slope stability and the like?
Yes, it does. I mean, I think climate change is another driver that's important to think about when we're thinking about landslide risk and where we think it's safe to build. And there's a lot of interesting research going on at University of Washington now on how precipitation increases influence landslide risks.
You know, you're working at with science that also has uncertainty involved, even though you're getting better at understanding what we might see in the future. But how does that uncertainty affect the way the report is written or the work you do?
You know, we try to focus on what we know well and best and what we don't know and what isn't knowable and sort of separate those out so that people can use that information in their risk assessment. So we know it's going to warm under all scenarios. The globe gets warmer, the nation gets warmer, and the Northwest gets warmer. And we know we have sensitive snow. We have a lot of low elevation snow that's kind of currently close to the freezing line. So when it gets warmer, there's less of that. We know that that snow matters for our water supply, for people and fish and farms. We don't know a lot about other things because we have a very variable climate. So we know that we have wet years and dry years and wet decades and dry decades. And under climate change, we actually know that will continue. But what we don't know is exactly what it'll look like in any given decade. So we separate these things out from what we're sure about to what is driven by our variability and what we still need to research, and try to make that really clear when we're talking about what we expect to see, so that we can prepare for the expected and we can also develop strategies for hedging our bets against the things that we can't project specifically.
The extremes that we hear about in climate change are often said they will occur in other parts of the U.S., that the kinds of big swings, heavy storms, big flooding. The Northwest was going to be, because of the maritime influence, less extreme. Is that still the notion for the west side of the Cascades?
You know, there's still a lot of people who make that argument. I don't spend a lot of time comparing the Northwest to other regions. I spend my time focusing on what the impacts in the Northwest are. So what I see is that there are enough significant impacts on a time frame that's relevant for our decision making now that I think we need to fold those in to our risk assessment and planning. So if we're better off than others, I feel badly for others.
Amy Snover is a research scientist. She specializes in atmospheric chemistry. First, she's director of the Climate Impacts Group at the University of Washington. She was one of the authors of a new report looking at climate change in the United States. East and west of the Cascades, what impacts will climate change have on the eastern part of the state, the eastern part of Oregon, the drier parts of the region as compared to the west, wetter west?
You know, impacts that are common across the state are this loss of winter snowpack. And so that's equally important on the dry east side as it is on the west. So on the east side, a lot of summer water availability is dependent on winter snow melt. And with the loss of that winter snow melt, we see, because of the warming and decreased snow accumulation, we see increased challenges meeting competing water supply needs in the summer. So risks of water prorationing in districts, agricultural districts that currently are fully subscribed, goes up. We also see impacts across the forested landscape, and that's where the increased risk of wildfire and increased risk of insect outbreaks, combined with the drought stress that the forests are facing, combine to lead us to expect kind of widespread transformation of the forested landscapes.
And in terms of the Columbia River system and its ability to deliver water for irrigation, does this report tell us what that might look like 50 years from now, 100 years from now?
So there have been some studies looking at specific subregions within the Columbia, and there have been some details in the Yakima looking at the increased risk of what is called prorationing, when not everyone gets their full water right because of the loss of snowpack over time. When you look at the Columbia Basin as a whole, providing water to agricultural uses, an overall assessment hasn't been done. But the three major operators of the Columbia River system, the Corps, the Bonneville Power Administration, and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, have looked at climate change projections and are factoring them into their assessment of their ability to produce long-term hydropower and meet fish flow protection targets. So on the water management side for hydroelectric production and fish flow protection, the major river operators are factoring in climate change information in their long-range planning. So that's an exciting part of the report. One of the things that is new is the amount of work that's going on the ground to assess and prepare for climate risks. We don't hear about those a lot, and the report is an opportunity to highlight some of those.
Well, let's talk about that, because the National Climate Assessment comes on the heels of the International Panel on Climate Change, the United Nations group that's looked at it globally, and they've talked in their last two parts about adaptation and mitigation. Well, let's talk about adaptation for a little bit. What, to your mind, does adaptation mean? We're going to reach these levels by 2050 unless something massive happens in the next few years in terms of policy, carbon taxes and China not burning as much coal. So the policy seems further behind the science. So what does adaptation look like?
Adaptation is an effort to look at the inevitable impacts of climate change that we've set in motion. So even if emissions stop today, we would see continued warming, continued sea level rise for centuries into the future. And so what that means is adaptation, the conversation about preparing for those risks isn't really an option. I think it's essential. And think the good news from the national assessment is that there's a lot of, as I said, communities, companies, governmental agencies taking the lead in assessing these risks. But I think the bad news is not nearly enough has been done yet.
You know, it's interesting the way you describe it. A rational process going forward could be in place. But we are talking about pretty massive changes in what the waterfront will look like, what the sea will look like. And we're talking about pretty massive changes in what the forest will look like. And as we go up higher on in the forest, what that atmosphere, what that climate will be like. It could be fairly disruptive, even 40 years from now.
You're right. And that's why we want to lay out as well as we can what we understand about the changes we've seen and the changes we've expected so that we can minimize that disruption. I mean, I think you hit on the bottom line. Why does climate change matter? It matters because it cuts across all of these issues, all of these sectors of society and our economy. And the way we currently live and manage those systems has some embedded expectations about what the climate's going to be. And when it is not that is when disruption occurs. So let's anticipate that now and begin working through where we need to change our expectations, the way we manage, so that we can be resilient and minimize the disruption.
You know, you've given a good news, bad news scenario. A lot of folks are looking at it, but we need to do a lot more. But as a scientist who's been working on this for 15 years?
Yes.
This is a great time to be a scientist.
It's always a great time to be a scientist, because there's lots to learn. But I think this is a really exciting time. I'm hopeful that this report and the ongoing efforts by scientists in the region will really bring this issue to the fore in our regional conversation.
The National Climate Assessment was produced by a team of experts guided by a federal advisory committee. Amy Snover was one of the authors. She's a scientist and director of the Climate Impacts Group at the University of Washington. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
This is The Record.